to the what? Kingdom to come more and more here on earth. That's what we pray. And we look forward to Christ's return, this time in power and glory. There'll be a renewed heaven and earth, and all will be made new. Until then, we wait, we look back, we retell his first coming, and we're about God's mission of living and telling the gospel. Yes, you and me, brothers and sisters. For Christ says to us, as he said to those early disciples, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, that they may see the good that you do and praise your heavenly Father. And that good that you do is not just a whole load of great works that kind of says, oh, look, aren't I great? And that draws other people. Hopefully you will do some good stuff. But it's more about the light that you bring illuminates stuff, illuminates the way, sometimes illuminates the darkness, maybe like in that car journey. You are the light of the world. But somehow we lack the confidence to be what Jesus calls us to be. You know, we've got a really exciting 2018 that's in preparation. We want to make it a year where we build on some things we've done in the past, where we have the opportunity to become even more confident and courageous followers of Jesus in the whole of our lives, living confidently for Christ between Sundays, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, confident in knowing God's story as well. That's something we're going to major on as well. Understanding the whole sweep of the Bible story better, confident in knowing that story, telling that story, and telling our story as well. And this call comes from many places. All that the Church of England writ large across our country is on about this, has been the last 2 years. Their major report, which has been which is coming out in different ways over the last year, Renewal and Reform, talks all about this. It talks about a serious sea change in the culture of the Church of England. Not just a tinkering around the edges, but a sea change in the culture of what we're about. And right at the heart of it is this us encouraging and equipping people to be confident followers of Jesus in the whole of our lives. It's coming from our diocese as well. In terms of the Gloucester Diocese, our senior staff, our bishops, they're banging on about this same stuff as well. In some ways, they're catching up with what we were doing in a year or so ago. Isn't God good? Be proud of yourselves, church. We're on the journey already. And this call for that confident new start or more confidence and courage is something that comes from within us as well, isn't it? Who of us doesn't want to be around the water cooler when someone's going on about something for us to be able to say something about what we believe? Who of us doesn't want to have a deeper grasp of what the Bible story is about? Because we feel it's such a big book. We want to tackle those things head on during the next year. We want to be about our mission statement, transforming lives through the love of Christ. Part of that's going to come through us being better equipped and more courageous and confident in our faith. So this mission of ours gives us the opportunity in so many ways to give generously of our talent, our treasure, and our time for the future growth and witness of God's church in our little bit of the vineyard here on the edge of the Cotswolds. Today, following discussion and planning and praying with our finance team, our PCC and our leadership team, you know, we're having a little focus on our giving today. And maybe in a couple of the weeks to come as well. So primarily, who am I going to be addressing in these next few minutes as we talk about our giving? Primarily, I'm addressing those of you who are baptized members of Christ's family, baptized into the name and the ministry of Jesus. Not just with your baptism certificate somewhere at home, but baptized into Christ's mission. Those of you who consider that this is your home church, this is where you serve, this is where you give, this is where you receive, this is the church that sends you out into your Monday morning lives tomorrow. So I'm going to be addressing those of you who are baptized members of Christ's family, and those of you who consider this to be your home church as well. And also those of you who recognise, too, the mission that we are about here as church, that we come here to receive. But a lot of what goes on in here is for the benefit of what happens out there. This for that, as some people might say. So I'm also addressing those who are going to be listening on. You might be visiting here today and you're thinking, I didn't know it was going to be about giving today. Don't worry, just relax. And enjoy me targeting all the members who've been here for years now. Just enjoy being here and listening to this thing, this upside down notion that we think it's a great thing to give generously. So I want to just go through the next few minutes about why do we give generously? How is that the case? So we give generously because of who we are. The Bible reading you've got there from the Gospel, from Mark's Gospel, says this: sitting across from the offering box, Jesus was observing how the crowd tossed money into the collection. Many of the rich were making large contributions. One poor widow came up and put in two small coins, a measly two coins. Jesus called his disciples over and said, "The truth is that this poor widow gave more to the collection than all the others put together. All the others gave what they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all." We were singing something of that in that new Advent song a few minutes ago. Jesus watches life around the temple. He sees what he encourages us to see, what's going on in our hearts. This does not compute. She gives everything. Now, we don't know her story, but she's giving surely because of who she is, her relationship with God, her trust in God. It's a wonderful story. Where do we sit in that story? Are we watching with Jesus? Are we one of those characters? Or maybe there was a third character that came up and made the offering. Maybe that's you, but look at yourself through the eyes of Jesus this morning, prayerfully as we go through this material together. Imagine yourself in that story. It's a shocking story. And some of you are thinking, yeah, she might have given all that she had, but actually, you know, those two pennies wouldn't have done much to keep the temple going, would it? Or the synagogue or whatever. That's not going to pay anybody's wages or pay for the new sheets or decorate. That's going to do nothing. That's not what this story is about. It's about beginning with who we are, who you are, who I am, as we come to God and sing songs about giving our all. So, we give because of who we are. And who are we? Well, we are people who give because our lives have new direction and meaning. Paul wrote, "Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten and everything is new." So we're new creations. Some of us became Christians in one moment of time. You can look back, you know when it happened. Everything changed for you. You realize that you're forgiven. You realize that God was dealing with your shame and your guilt. You walked tall, knowing that you were loved. For other people, it would have happened over a season of time. You look back and realize stuff's changed. You've just been on a long journey with God of him, opening up your heart as you've been able to give more and more your life to Christ. As you recognize what he did for you in Christ, you reckon too that you are a new creation. That's what we are, new creations, with a new focus, a new direction, a new meaning in our lives. Remember what we heard last week as we concluded our series on the commandments about not coveting? If you haven't listened to that sermon or some of the others, go online onto our website, have a listen. It's fantastic. Last week we were encouraged to consider how the antidote to our grasping, greedy, unhappy heart was to ask God to guard our heart and to make us generous and grateful in our giving. There's been a turnaround in here. From focusing on me, 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 a closed-in sort of life, to a life that opens out and blesses others. Paul was able to say, "I've learned to be content with," can anybody remember? "A little or a lot." Great Christian guy. There were times when he was surrounded by plenty, full church, brothers and sisters loving him. There were other times when he was languishing in prison, beaten, bloodied, bowed, on the verge of death, with nothing. He's able to say, "I've learned to be content with a little or a lot." What does contentment look like in your life at the moment? Your friends and neighbours were looking in on you as they saw you looking in your bank statements or the things that get you worried or anxious. You know, what would they be saying about you and how content you are and what it is that brings you contentment? What would they say of me too? Paul was able to say, "I'm content with a little or a lot." That woman, she puts in her two measly coins. Must have been saying, "I don't care. I'm putting it in. Somebody's going to need this more than me. I just love you and worship you and adore you, Lord. I don't know where the next two pennies are coming from, but I'm giving this to you. for the work of your kingdom here on earth. So we give because of who we are. We give because we have this new focus. We are new creations. We give also as a response to all that God has given us. Paul again wrote elsewhere, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Lovely wordplay going on there. He gave it up all, he gave everything to us who have nothing, that we might have it all. And there are different levels of giving, aren't there? There's the level of giving which is like the tip. You know, I give because of what I've just received. You know, you go into a restaurant or you go to a cafe and there's a pot saying, you know, give some money, and you put a couple of coins in, or you've been to a nice restaurant. Maybe you'll have a policy of giving a certain percentage. I mean, it's so complicated in England, isn't it? Sometimes it is better to go to some other countries where it's a set fee. You just give, you know. But we just don't know what to do we, English? We get so embarrassed about it, don't we? You know, do we give it, leave it in the pot? Do we add it onto the credit card bill? Does the person, the lovely person served us, get it or not? So sometimes, you know, we can treat church a bit like that. We tip, you know, Mount was all right today, so we kind of, we'll leave a bit of a tip. Church was warm, blah, blah, blah. There's another sort of giving, which might be your entrance or your membership fee as well. You know, you're paying a fee when you go to the cinema or to the concert or two. I'm going to get something, so I'll give some money. Or you belong to part of a club or a golf club or a leisure club. So, you know, you pay your kind of weekly or your annual fee so that you can belong and receive all the benefits. You know, church isn't a club like that at all. We are not paying a membership fee. There's a kind of emotional giving as well, for good or ill. We might feel guilty about something, or we might feel deeply moved about something. So in those seasons, we might feel, right, I better give something. There's the casual giving, you know, I'll give, you know, what's spare and left over at the moment. But you know where all this is heading, church, don't you? Many of you have heard this stuff before, that we as Christians, you know, we give in a response to the overflow of God's love for us. That's what motivates us. Not because the service has been great on the Sunday. Yes, that's what we want. Not because of all the other things that we enjoy about church, important though they are. One of our motivating things is we give to the life of the church and the kingdom of God's work here on earth because of what God has done for us. We are thrilled with what he's done. He's given everything. That's the gospel story. Are you hearing it? Are you receiving that in this season of your lives? And maybe one of the reasons that you struggle with the whole giving thing, be it giving your time, your talent, or your treasure, is because, once again, you need to be renewed in your faith. To hear again, God loves you. He thinks you're amazing. Christ has become king. And as a result of that, he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. As a result of that, we get to, as it were, participate in his kingdom as we give our lives to him. What else could we do? He's given his all to us. How could we not give our all to him? So we give because of who we are. We give in response to all that God has given us. And finally, for now, before I had some practical stuff, we give to enable our vision to come to fruition. In the day-to-day running of our church, we don't get funded by anybody else. We get some money through fees for weddings and funerals. We get some money, but that's tapering off from trust funds towards our children and families' work. But basically, the day-to-day running of our church is paid for by your generosity. The years are gone when the church writ large would pass us on loads of money from all the land we owned around. Those are invested elsewhere. We benefit from that. But it's down to us. So, your generosity makes it all happen. Now, just to say, I personally don't know what any of you give at all. I don't know those of you give regularly or give one-offs or pledge. I don't know. A couple of other people have to deal with some of those things, no. But sometimes if you give through the parish giving scheme, which is one of the best ways to give regularly, and it goes via the diocese, who do the admin for us and collect the gift aid for us brilliantly, I don't think necessarily you have to give all the details of who you are. So I don't know who you are, who you give. So when if you find me catching your eye, it's not because, unless the Holy Spirit's telling you something, it's not because I know, all right? So we give to enable this, the vision of our church, transforming lives through Christ's love. And during 2017, you know, it was wonderful. You know, our giving enabled such ministry to happen here and through this place. Sunday and midweek worship, festivals have meant contact with around £230 per week, around 1,500 people, maybe more, through our special services and festivals, Easter, Remembrance, Harvest, and of course, Advent and Christmas. That's around 13,500 encounters with people. Some of those people are the same, some of them are different people that come to us. Through our 20 weddings, we reckon maybe with their guests and families, 1,600 people. Through our 125 funerals, which has included church services, crematorium, and then burial of ashes, that's that amount of families at least that we've been involved with. And just averaging out the people that come to those services, it could be 8,500 people who Richard and I, others, are ministering to on your behalf. That's us doing that business, that kingdom work together. We have 60 children in our week-long holiday club, as well as the kind of fringe of their families that were involved in that. Through encounters with baby and toddler groups, meant being with people approximately 2,500 times. Again, some duplication there, but in terms of encounters with real people in our community, your generosity last year enabled that to happen. I could go on. There's a whole load of fantastic contact with thousands of children in our primary schools. On their patch to open the book and the assemblies we go in and do. And here, as they come here on various visits, bit of history, bit of educational stuff, or worship here for the festivals as well. There's loads. I could go on and on. It's been fantastic in 2017. So what about 2018 then? Question for you, Malk's mini money quiz. With the person next to you, what do you think the average weekly giving is in our church for those that give regularly through our parish giving scheme? What do you think that is per week? Have a chat with the person next to you. Anybody willing to say what they think that might be? Shall I tell you? Just under £20 per week. I don't know what you think about that figure. Some of you might think, as you listen to that figure, what you're doing is you're attaching your own giving to it. One, the word regular, and you're thinking, oh. And then that amount of money. That was the amount of money. Some of you may think that's quite a lot of money. And for some of you, as I go on to explain about what we're going to be after for 2018, that may be your aspiration, maybe, to give regularly. Or to think about, actually, I'd never thought about giving as much as £20 per week. For some of you also, though, it may work out the other way. You may think, actually, £20 a week in this area of the world and with the job and the income we've got coming into our house, maybe, you know, I just need to pray about that, Lord, and just sit with that and what that looks like for me. There was one church I'd heard of, we thought about doing this sometimes, where they got everybody in the church community to write down anonymously what the income was coming into their household. And then what they did, they added up all that income and told the church, this is the income that comes in per month to our church family. I reckon that if we did do that, we'd probably be astonished. If we listed out the pensions, the dividends, the wages, the salaries, the benefits, whatever it might be. Now, I know it's a different story to how much we are wedded to our mortgages and to whatever else we pay out. But in terms of the income that we're getting in, I wonder what God would say to us about what might be the average giving per person. I think the average is okay, because we'll say, and I will say, you know, some people, sometimes we need to give less. Things are tight, and that's fine. But for every person that maybe sense, I've got to give less, I couldn't imagine giving £20 a week, there'll be others of us who'll be thinking we could give a shed load more than that, if we're honest. Okay, question number two. How much do you think it costs every day to do all the ministry of this church? Looking after our building, the wonderful stuff that happens here, all the ministry, all the things that go on, how much do you think it might cost per day? I'm going to tell you. Okay, so per day, £219 goes towards our parish share. That's what we give into the central pot, money that comes back to us. I'm going to show you a little video on that in a moment. Dan, could you do me a favour and just get that ready, please? Thank you. I'm going to show you a little video about that in just a moment. £83 goes towards our church building per day. £104 per day on our worship services, festivals, weddings, funerals, baptisms, making all that stuff happen. £191 on other mission and ministry per day. And that last figure includes £90 per day for our, specifically for our children and family minister and that ministry. It's quite a lot of money, isn't it, that you've been helping us with? And this is as we're looking towards 2018. It's gradually getting going, is it? Yeah, oh, it warmed up slowly this morning at the 9:30, so it will come. Okay, one last question on my mini quiz while that's getting going. How much do you think the Office of National Statistics records the average Southwest household spends on discretionary stuff per week? That's the sort of stuff that, like eating out, drinking, tobacco, it says in the list, recreation, culture, holidays, clothing, footwear, all the stuff that is kind of discretionary, if you like. The Southwest household, how much do you think spends on that stuff per week? Anybody willing to have a guess? I was quite staggered by this, and I thought, I need to spend a bit more. discretionary was £159 per week. Now, again, that's an average. £159 a week, discretionary. Some of you look at me thinking, surely not. Some of you are thinking, not sure. Okay. That's for the Southwest. Maybe they're just talking about Bath or somewhere like that. Yes, clothes as well. Clothes and holidays. Yeah, all that stuff averaged out, as it were. So can I just say, if that, you're not spending that much, don't go and just start spending that money this week, will you, right? Go home and just tell your partner or whatever, I've got to spend this amount of money per week. So what is Parish Share all about then? We're going to see a little bit of that. If you can't see the screen, do stand up and move so you can see it.
Because we all support each other in love, we are fundamentally stronger together. This was one of the things that helped the early church to grow, despite incredible opposition, and today enables clergy to serve in communities that really need them. Our financial support for each other is not only biblical, it works in a very practical way too. Let's look at a few of the facts. Parishes raise over £16 million to maintain ministry in the diocese. £6 million of this is donated to the Diocesan Board of Finance as Parish Share. When a church contributes to Parish Share, it is giving into a common purse to be shared out by Synod as fairly as possible. Parish Share is vital to our mission, supporting lay leaders, clergy and various groups. It covers your vicar's pay, their pension, their housing, specialist support training, and even the training for your next vicar, who you haven't met yet, but I'm sure they're probably very nice. The Diocesan Board of Finance also pays for other important parts of the church, like our schools, chaplaincies, workshops, street pastors, housing developments, and some goes towards the national church and on the running of the central services that enable us to function as a diocese. Fortunately, the Board of Finance raises money separately for this from things like investments, property, and donations, which means that everything raised by parishes can go to parish ministry. Parish Share is one of the things that binds us together as a diocesan community. Together, our giving allows us to be present in every community, from areas of urban deprivation to suburban towns, idyllic villages and forest hamlets, providing ministry and resourcing our mission throughout. So that's how diocesan finances work. It's a way that we express being one body by doing more together than we could ever do alone. We are each a little broken and a little brilliant, and when we work together, fantastic things can happen. It's your continued generosity that makes all of this possible, so thank you for all that you give towards God's work in our diocese. Together, we are the Diocese of Gloucester.
I love that line that says, we're a little bit broken, we're all a little bit broken and a little bit brilliant. I love that. So hopefully that's a bit helpful in terms of what the parish share element of our giving is about. So in 2018, we are looking to raise an extra £21,000 to bring about the ministry that we feel God is calling us to. These figures have been agreed by PCC and our finance team. We've agreed a new budget for the year ahead. It includes our parish share, our children and families ministry, our mission ministry, our church building maintenance as well. Now that seems to be a huge amount of money. It looks so big, we might think, doesn't compute. But if you imagine there were, say, 90 individual family units or individual people giving an extra £4.50 per week, or £18 a month, then that's that £21,000 right there. If we imagine that not everybody who's giving now could give more, but others were to give more, a lot more, then I think we could make that £21,000 pretty okay. Some may want to pledge something for the future. Some may be able to give a one-off gift. If you're not on the parish giving scheme, please do pick up the information about that as well. It's a fantastic way to be able to give. If God leads us, some of us, to some super generosity, then it could be that not only we are able to pay for 2018 to support particularly our children and families ministry and all that we want to be doing there, but also recognising that some of the funds that we've received towards our children and families ministry, they're going to be tapering off quite seriously in 3 years' time. So they have supported us to a certain extent this year, but less than the previous 3 years. And we would love to build up more of a pot so that in 3 years' time, we've already got some money in place to just continue that ministry. So your generosity, my generosity, is going to help bring that about. So there's quite a lot of information there. As you go from church today, you'll receive some information. There's some on the panels at the back. There'll be more posters up in time for next week as well. Peter, our treasurer, is here buzzing around. Most of all, be praying. God, what is my response to all that you've done for me and the particular call that we're feeling as a church today? What is it you want me to do? And as I've said, some of you may be under financial pressure. That's fine. You pray and pray for the rest of us that we might give generously. Your time will come. Some of us may be thinking we've just kept our giving the same for ages. You haven't looked at what you give. And because you do parish giving scheme or you tithe regularly through another scheme, a direct debit or something, you don't even notice that you're giving. That can be a good thing. But also, it doesn't make us necessarily pray about what we're giving and sense the, not the pain I was going to say, but sense the cost of our giving. So, may God bless us and lead us forward as we consider this together. We are the Diocese of Gloucester. We are St. Michael's Church. We are God's ambassadors here in this bit of the kingdom. May God bless us in our giving. Catherine, would you come and lead us in our music? I'm conscious that that was a little bit longer than usual, so I'll leave any editing of what's to come to you.
I can sing every song twice.
So.